Call recording is on. Ladies, welcome to our NATO teleconferencing shoot tonight. We welcome back Rabbi Mordechai Roin. It's always an honor and a pleasure to host Rabbi Roin. I love, love, love reading his bio. Okay, ladies, are you ready? Rabbi Roin is from Baltimore, Maryland, and he is the director of Teach 613. And Teach 613, if you ladies would like to get, you know, great Divine Tyra's into your inbox, we can get you the contact information, because Rabbi Roin sends out an email every, whatever it is, Thursday, Friday. It's very, very interesting information, a lot in his emails. He's also the Menaha of the Gerud Base for the Vaad of Greater Washington. He's also a certified mediator focusing on family mediation, where he utilizes over 20 years of experience in Rabbanus to assist families show unbiased parenting. So, ladies, if you want to get more information about that and you could use a mediator in your life, please email me, shavianenenu.com or 917-575-8719, because many times people could use these services and you don't know who to turn to. So it's something we shouldn't need it, but if we do, Rabbi Roin is available. Wow, it sounds fascinating, 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 fascinating. Tonight we have a very, very interesting topic, something that I think we all think about, but I don't know what we actually ever do about it, so I'm sure tonight we're going to get some good suggestions. The title tonight is How to Create Good Habits and Davening in All of Our Life. So now without further ado, please, Rabbi Roin.
Thank you, Mrs. Kapel. Thank you very much. I see these gatherings of Anenu as a beautiful opportunity to pay tribute, to express our appreciation to all those who say Tehillim regularly. Hashem Yimalim Mishaloseichem Litova. May Hashem answer your tefillos favorably. Our topic tonight, how to create good habits for davening and in all of life, has a great starting point. Famous sefer, Pele Yoetz, on the topic of regilus, habits, makes a statement that is absolutely astounding. He writes regarding regilus, habits, Kol Hayahados Talui Baze, being a frum Jew, it depends on this. This is what is so critical for success in Yiddishkeit. Regilus, good habits. And he explains, Kirak haschalos kashos, because it's only the beginning of every good endeavor that's difficult. Hergel nasa teva. But if you've got a habit, then it becomes natural. Ve'in kasha la'asoso, and it's no longer difficult to do it. Adaraba, on the contrary, oneg hu lo, it becomes enjoyable. Yera lo shalo la'asoso, if it ever happens that you can't do it, kasha olov, it's very painful. And this is talking about something that was a stretch goal, something that you didn't expect to be able to do, but haschalos kashos, it was difficult in the beginning, and you got into the routine, and now, if you wouldn't do it, you would really miss it. We have an expression, my wife and I in our family, it was hard, we tried, and now it's easy. And that's really this Pele Yoetz, Kol Hayahados Talui Bozeh, all of Judaism depends on this. Now, habits are really far-reaching. I mean, just daily things that we deal with, even if they're not particularly religious, A person wants to phase more vegetables into their life, more exercise. Haschalos kashos, in the beginning it's difficult. You're changing a routine. But once you get into that routine, the words of the Pele Yoetz ring so true. Once you're in the routine, if you would miss your vegetables or your exercise, it would be muzar. It would just be so foreign. And we're going to explore why. It certainly works in a religious sense as well. If a person gets into a routine of daily learning, daf yomi, for example, or chesed, with a routine, or making a phone call to somebody, whether because they need it or because phone calls are good, bring people together. It's a routine. In the beginning, it may be difficult, but then it comes naturally. It's unfortunately similar with bad habits as well. If a person slips into a bad habit, it just keeps going to the point that the person begins to anticipate the bad habit. And that's something we're also going to want to explore, how to step out of that. Pele Yoetz concludes the thought, Yom l'yom ma'at yekayim. Habits, just do a little bit. Every day, a little something, a small step. Reshitso mitzair, in the beginning it might be really hard. But bekerev yamim ye'eravlo. Before long, it's going to become sweet. V'yevasim. Really a joy. And we daven for that every day. In Birchas HaShachar, the 15th bracha, the long one, Shatargileinu b'sorasecha, that Hashem should grant us a routine in Torah. It should become a good habit. V'dabkeinu b'mitzvosecha, we should become like glue with mitzvahs, inseparable. There's a big question. And the big question starts with tefillah, but really applies by all of mitzvahs. The question is, we're being told that habits are good. They're powerful. The Mishnah in Avos tells us, Al tas tefillas chakeva. Don't make your prayer into a routine. Elatachanunim. It should be an entreaty. We all know the contrast between formulated prayer and spontaneous prayer. You're driving on the highway. Let's give a tame example. You're having trouble merging. And you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, you know, please, I need a little extra help here. That's spontaneous prayer. Who do you turn to when you have a problem? Mitzvah d'oraisa, to turn to Hashem. And then this formulated prayer. I say Shemoneh Esrei, this is what I do. And the Mishnah is telling us, even in formulated prayer, make sure it doesn't become a habit. Tefillah, avodah shebelev. It's the service of the heart. You have to invest it with emotion. Rachmana liba boy, Hashem wants our heart. It can't just be, I told you to daven, so you're davening. What exactly does it mean that it should be a habit if we still want it to be alive? You know, they say a story about a young man who was just married. He comes to yeshiva like the third, fourth week of his marriage. And he's just very, very distracted. He sits down, he stands up. Rosh Hashiva goes over to him and says, you know, something wrong, something we need to talk about. He says, "Oi, my wife and I, we had an argument, and it's just like..." So the Rosh Hashiva cuts him off, doesn't let him say the words, it's all over. He says to him, "You know, arguments happen sometimes. And you should be sensitive. Your wife's at work now, you're in yeshiva, but make sure, go home a little bit early, buy flowers, write a nice note, leave it on the table. Your wife will come in from work, she'll see the flowers, and it'll change everything." So the young man did as he was told, and he buys the flowers, and he writes the note, and he displays them beautifully on the table. His wife walks in. She's also a little apprehensive after the morning argument. And she sees the flowers, and she lights up. "Oh, things are going to be good." And she asks him, "What are the flowers about?" And he answers very dutifully, "The Rosh Hashiva said I should buy them for you." Altas tefilos chakeva. You can't have a relationship that's keva. That's, well, I was told to daven Shmona Esrei, so I'm davening Shmona Esrei. I have a habit to daven Shmona Esrei. It's an interesting habit, three times a day. Ela tachanunim. You take guidance from Chazal. Three times a day, but it's got to be an experience. And it's not just by davening that we have this question. What is the balance between habit and spontaneous emotion? This question exists by all of mitzvahs. Michtav Me'eliyahu Rav Dessler, in Chelek Hei, page 24, asks this question. Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. Hashem commands us today, the mitzvahs. And we learn from there, levatel hahergel. It can't be a habit. It has to be an experience that you are commanded right now, today. So ve'echosim kriyishma. How do you accomplish kriyishma? You say it twice a day, every day of your life. Of course, it's going to become a routine. Kachadosha, and it's supposed to be new. And to compound the question, we say a tefillah shetargileinu b'zarazecha, that it should be a habit. How do we balance these two concepts? And Rav Dessler, in his own awesome way, answers this question with one word. He says, be'iyun, with depth. That's how you achieve asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. You do have a habit to do it, and it's a good habit to do it. And as the Pele Yoed said, that's the strength that's going to carry you. Because if every moment of your life was a new bechira, a new free choice, we wouldn't have the strength. We have to tap into this gift called habit and routine. But if we're also going to have hischadshus, a freshness, the way to achieve that is be'iyun, by going more in depth. In depth intellectually, and in depth emotionally. Today, there's a vi'ahavta. There's a unique vi'ahavta to love Hashem in my today's experience. There's a new Shema Yisrael. There's a new Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim to accept Hashem as our King. And what's so interesting over here is that if we truly understand habits, the gift of habits, how they work and why they work. This is not really a kasha with a teretz, a question with an answer. They're really one and the same. They're complementing each other. There's a symbiotic relationship between the two concepts. Because if a person is to achieve iyun, depth, it has to be on the platform of habits. Imagine, for example, a person did not have a good habit to say Shmona Esrei every day. He's doing it for the first time. Or he forgets what he did 5 hours ago. He would end up putting in all of his energy into just doing the good deed. Imagine how his Shmona Esrei would sound, trying to pronounce the words properly. V'li-ru-sha-la-yim ircha. His energy would all be in just doing the mitzvah. But because it's a habit, because I got the words down pat, I'm able to start releasing myself from that task. I'm able to put that task to pronounce the words on autopilot, and I free up my brain. I free up my capacity to be intellectually and emotionally soaring in the experience. The Pella Yoetz, Kol Hayadus Talui Bozeh. If you really want to achieve in the journey, it's by creating good habits. There's a downside, and I think we've all experienced the downside. The mind, now that it's freed, because it's a good habit, the mind can wander. It's true. We joke that sometimes after Shmona Esrei, our neighbor might do well to wish us a Shalom Aleichem. You know, welcome back. You've been around the world. Welcome back. There's that powerful joke. Someone punched me. I don't know who punched me. And then I realized, Slach Lanu, I punched myself. I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Who hit me? They say that the Satmar Rebbe developed an apocryphal story. He said the most serious shaila he ever got was of a man who came up to him and said, Rebbe, my tefillin are on my arm. I can't remember if I'm putting them on because I didn't daven yet, or I'm taking them off because I davened already. And that's funny, but it's not funny. But it's powerful. Because our minds have been freed up so effectively by habit that what we're really being asked to do is harness that freedom wisely. Because Hergel, as the Michtav Me'Eliyahu says it, enables iyun, enables depth. The concept of iyun, depth in tefillah, is a very important one. It's mentioned often. Parenthetically, those who know me know that I'm very fond of Perek Shira. It's interesting that the statement which precedes Perek Shira doesn't talk about someone reading the words. although that's very beautiful and precious, but the description of Perek Shira in its glory is kal ha'osek b'Perek Shira, a person who's devoted to studying, to getting in depth to Perek Shira. And essentially what we're saying is that within the formulated prayer, we now have been freed up to see, what does this mean to me? Based on the recent events in our lives, a Kabbalas al Malchus Shamayim, what does Hashem want of me? Rabbi A.J. Twersky was very fond of quoting President Lincoln, middle of the Civil War, when the Union forces started finally winning. So someone came over to Lincoln and said to him, "Oh, finally, God's on our side." And Lincoln wisely responded, "I'm not so interested in knowing whether God's on our side. I'm far more interested in knowing whether we're on God's side." That's the concept in its barest terms, Kabbalas al Malchus Shamayim. What does Hashem want of me? We often discuss a lot about when things are good for us, so we should have gratitude, we should have appreciation. Kabbalas al Malchus Shamayim opens up a whole new, very powerful and beautiful dimension of Torah Judaism. When things don't go my way, when I feel distant, Kabbalas al Malchus Shamayim, accepting Hashem as King, is recognizing, on the contrary, that when I feel distance is really when Hashem is the closest. When things are going my way, Hashem is just, seems, you know, good. That's nice. But when Hashem pushes me, squeezes me in a direction that I would not have chosen, that's Hashem at his closest. He's actually rubbing shoulders with us, pushing us in a direction that Hashem, the ultimate mative, the ultimate one who loves us, is guiding us in a different direction than we would have chosen. It's interesting that in the Aseres HaDibros, when it talks about the Isser of Avodah Zorah, not to worship idols, not to look at other forces to get what we want, if we realize Hashem doesn't want it, then doing it through machlokes, doing it by improper financial expenditures, it's wrong. When we describe the prohibition of Avodah Zorah against idol worship, the description is al panai, in my face. That's not just because Hashem is everywhere, so wherever you are, serving Avodah Zorah would be in Hashem's face. It's because when things don't go our way, which is when we want, we're tempted to turn to some other force, some other solution, some improper method, Hashem says, that's al panai. I'm not letting it go the way you want because I love you. And in my face, you're gonna turn away? When it doesn't go our way, it's actually at our closest. There was a period a few years ago in my Rabbanos when there were a lot of tragedies in the Kehillah. There were people getting sick, people dying. It was very intense. And upon the advice of a veteran Rav that I respect, we had a town hall meeting in Shul, and people made suggestions, good soul searching, trying to think, what is it that we should be makabel, that we should fix? And the Kehilla voted in favor of Kaddish. We would treasure Kaddish. We would make sure the people saying it would say it together, close proximity. We would make sure to answer. We would learn the words of Kaddish, what they mean. We could say it in our sleep. I mean, the words, even though they're a little difficult, they're Aramaic, but we could say the words in our sleep. It's not a problem. But to achieve depth, and it really, for me, it was a revelation of how deep and how close and how meaningful a tefillah could become. Because once we accepted Kaddish, we anticipated it. We looked forward it to the point that people would ask question, am I allowed to daven a longer Shmona Esrei if I want to? I want to talk to Hashem. I have a longer Shmona Esrei. But the result is I'm still going to be saying Shmona Esrei when they're ready for Kaddish. I'm going to miss Kaddish. How could it be I'm going to miss Kaddish? So there's a consolation, right? You're allowed to daven a long Shmona Esrei if that's what's working for you. Shamea Ka'ona, as long as you stop when Kaddish is being said and you listen to the response. But the ability to take something that we do regularly and build depth, depth of emotion, depth of intellect, when we're not doing it, to take some time out to learn what the words mean. It's Kaddish in particular, it's a little bit sad. The Rishonim say that it was done in Aramaic so that everybody should know it, because that was the language of the time. People knew Aramaic. In our time, we don't really know Aramaic. We have some exposure through learning Gemara, but it's not the primary language. It takes effort. But when a person builds that, that's what we're describing. Now, in addition to habits by tefillah, by prayer, there are habits and the ability to harness this gift, which the Pele Yoetz describes as kol hayados talui bozeh. Our success as Jews depends on this. And for this, we need to appreciate that we are not our brain. We are our neshama, our soul, and we actually have the ability to have a conversation with our brain. We can give a directive to the brain how to think. It's a machine. We can tell the brain, I choose to be optimistic. I choose to be happy. I want to celebrate certain types of activities. I pick what I consider a good deed, and I decide, if I do this, wow! And I tell my brain that that's how I want to see it. What happens in the brain as a result is that the neural pathways form themselves in a way that are habits. Habits are the things that we do intuitively on autopilot that we don't even have to pay attention to. This is just who I am. This is just what I do. And it doesn't require a constant bechira, a constant choice. The concept over here in modern psychology is described as the risk of ego depletion, which is that a person has a certain amount of willpower, but if everything is going to be a challenge, then we're going to get worn down and we're not going to be able to live our higher conscience calling. If a person really wants to live to certain standards, then putting ourselves into a routine, developing good habits, is really the key to achieving that. It is said that the difference between the tzaddik and the rasha, the difference between success and failure, is not in the bechira, the choice, but rather in the geder, in the fence, in setting the table for what's going to follow. Those small steps in the direction of the type of person we want to become, that's really where the decision and where the success is found. Likewise, when we talk about breaking bad habits, it's to be aware that we're not just our brain and my brain made me do it. We have control over that. There's a trigger or a cue. Something perhaps doesn't go our way, or we're starting to get stressed. And then, as a result of that trigger or cue, there's an urge. We might call it a temptation. And the habit causes us to do some sort of response. But that process is our choice. And we can change the habit. We can retrain ourselves. We can explore the alternatives. If a person upon certain trigger gets angry, they need to think, is that the only choice? I had a Rebbe in yeshiva in fourth grade who very openly, when he claimed he was angry, I don't know if he was or he wasn't, but he put on a pretty good show of being angry. He counted to 10 openly with us on his fingers. 1, 2, 3. Perhaps he really was angry. But he realized that the trigger and the resulting urge to scream, to belittle a student, is not the response that has to be. I have free choice, and I retrain my habit to a different, to deep breathing, to taking a breath. Rabbi Wein had a Rebbe who used to listen to the Talmud, and with a big smile he would say, "You're 100% right, now let me show you where you're wrong." We have in our time improper internet use. There are people who unfortunately are stuck with it as a bad habit. They have a trigger, a cue. They're stressed. They're overdone. They have an urge, a temptation, a way to de-stress. That doesn't have to be the response. We can interrupt it and choose a different response. The people with binge eating, doesn't have to be. Habits are things that are a gift. They're things that we create. You know, you drive on the road and sometimes there's a sign that says, "Slow down, children at play." So we could post a sign, "Slow down, habits at play." Let's see if we like the habits or we don't like the habits. It's really up to us. I'd like to circle back to the topic of tefillah. creating habits, things that the brain will anticipate, and therefore you don't have to work so hard because you just expect it to happen. You can create a specific time that you daven at a regular time. You create an environment that enables the body to focus. Washing hands beforehand, which is actually a halacha, a certain routine that gets created. I know for women, sometimes the specific time of davening is a little unpredictable. We're not focused on going off to minyan at a specific time. There are other family responsibilities, particularly during the time taking care of children. Not so predictable exactly when someone's going to get to daven. But the other parts of the routine, a specific space in the house, a specific sitter, a routine that a person can phase in and collect their thoughts, is powerful. Taking a phone, putting it up to charge, turning down the ringer. It's a ritual. It enables us to get sacred space, to have kavana, and to be able to take advantage of bonding with Hashem, because the words may very well be routine. And if we don't get into the habit of focusing, our mind can go in a million different directions without really benefiting from this stage that's being set for our benefit to relate to Hashem. For women in particular, candlelighting time is sacred. We know that. But how to harness that? My wife has a lighting and learning program. Simple, simple concept, but with awesome results. To make an effort to light on time, and then, after tefillah, to learn something. They have a book divided into just a few minutes of learning. Anybody who wants to join the program can email her. yitti.rine@gmail.com. That's yitti.rine. She did not request that I publicize the program, but it's just natural for me. It's powerful. It's taking what could be a habit that's thoughtless into making it a habit that's truly harnessed in the most beautiful way. The key to habits is to harness them well, to guide the brain to know what to expect and therefore to free us up to really bond in an awesome experience. I hope that we will all succeed and get great sipuk satisfaction, both from davening and from mitzvahs throughout our lives. Yashar koach, and thank you for joining.
Thank you. Call recording is off. Amazing, amazing show. I definitely am going to try. Will I succeed? I don't know, but yes, this show was for me.